Let's take the scriptures, turning in them with me if you would. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9, we'll be reading verses 1 through 35 from the Word of God, Exodus chapter 9. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer now. Our Father, we thank You of how You have spoken to us. But it is not spoken as in a past tense. You continue to speak to us now through Your Word that You have given into our hands. And so, Father, we ask that You would cause us to hear it in our ears and see the truths with our eyes. And You would put Your Word into our hearts, that all of our hardness of heart would be made soft. You would even change stony hearts to fleshly hearts. You would cause people to be born again, seeing what awaits those who harden their heart, like Pharaoh, which is great judgments. Father, give us soft hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Exodus 9, starting in the verse 1. These are the words of the living and true God, and so give your attention to it. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh and speak to him. Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let them go and continue to hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will come with a very severe pestilence on your livestock which are in the field, on the horses, on the donkeys, on the camels, on the herds, and on the flocks. But the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, so that nothing will die of all that belongs to the sons of Israel." The Lord set a definite time, saying, "Tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land." So the Lord did this thing on the next day, and all the livestock of Egypt died. But of the livestock of the sons of Israel, not one died. Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not even one of the livestock of Israel dead. But the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Take for yourselves handfuls of soot from a kiln, and let Moses throw it toward the sky in the sight of Pharaoh. It will become fine dust over all the land of Egypt, and it will become boils breaking out with sores on man and beast through all the land of Egypt." So they took soot from a kiln and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses threw it toward the sky, and it became boils breaking out with sores on man and beast. The magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils were on the magicians as well as on all the Egyptians. And the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not listen to them, just as the Lord had spoken to Moses. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Rise up early in the morning, stand before Pharaoh and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For this time I will send all my plagues on you and on your servants and on your people, so that you may know that there is no one like me in all the earth. For if by now I had put forth my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, you would then have been cut off from the earth. But indeed for this reason I have allowed you to remain, in order to show you my power and in order to proclaim my name through all the earth. Still you exalt yourself against my people by not letting them go. Behold, about this time tomorrow I will send a very heavy hail, such as has not been seen in Egypt from the day it was founded until now. Now therefore send, bring your livestock and whatever you have in the field to safety. Every man and beast that is found in the field and is not brought home, when the hail comes down on them, will die. And one among the servants of Pharaoh who feared the word of the Lord made his servants and his livestock flee into the houses. But he who paid no regard to the word of the Lord left his servants and his livestock in the field. Now the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the sky, that hail may fall on all the land of Egypt, on man and on beast, and on every plant of the field throughout the land of Egypt. Moses stretched out his hand, his staff toward the sky, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire ran down to the earth. The Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. So there was hail and a fire flashing continually in the midst of the hail, very severe, such as had not been all in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. The hail struck all that was in the field through all the land of Egypt, both man and beast. The hail also struck every plant of the field and shattered every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the sons of Israel were, there was no hail. And Pharaoh sent to Moses and Aaron and said to them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is the righteous one, and I and my people are the wicked ones. Make supplication to the Lord, for there has been enough of God's thunder and hail. And I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. Moses said to him, as soon as I go out of the city, I will spread out my hands to the Lord. The thunder will cease, and there will be no hail. There will be hail no longer, that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. But as for you and your servants, I know that you do not yet fear the Lord God. Now the flax and barley were ruined, for the barley was in the ear and the flax was in bud. But the wheat and the spelt were not ruined, for they ripened late. So Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and spread out his hands to the Lord, and the thunder and hail ceased, and rain no longer poured on the earth. But when Pharaoh saw that the rain and hail and thunder had ceased, he sinned again and hardened his heart, he and his servants. Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not let the sons of Israel go, just as the Lord had spoken through Moses. And that is the word of the Lord. The many plagues have come upon the land of Egypt. They have been devastating, and yet they keep coming. They keep getting worse. They keep touching different aspects or parts of the land of Egypt and the people of Egypt. And Pharaoh's heart hardens again and again and more and more. That's the pattern that as we Christians and any who are unbelievers need to be careful of. If you are one who hardens your heart, in other words, you get further and further entrenched in sin. Your heart is only that which will get more and more hardened, more and more rebellious against Yahweh. So be careful, beloved, in this. For Christians, you may be tempted to apostatize eventually and show yourselves never to be truly a Christian, like the seed that was spread on the rocky soil that came up quickly and then was destroyed. And for you others who are hardened in heart now, unbelievers like Pharaoh, you may not have a tomorrow to depend upon, but the Lord calls you today to listen to Him as He speaks to you. Beloved, we come now to the fifth plague, and we'll go through the seventh plague today. The fifth plague, the first point this morning, Yahweh, sovereign over provisions. Yahweh, sovereign over provisions. The common call to Pharaoh that we've seen on many occasions comes, verse 1, then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh, speak to him. Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let them go and continue to hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will come with a very severe pestilence on your livestock, which are in the field, on horses, on donkeys, on the camels, on the herds, and on the flocks. He says once again, let my people go that they may serve me. Implying not serving Pharaoh as slaves anymore. Of course, if Pharaoh refuses, there's coming the fifth plague. The fifth plague is a great pestilence that will be upon livestock. And it gives a few of those different types of livestock that he's referring to. And the livestock throughout all the land of Egypt will be receive and be affected by this great pestilence. And so, Pharaoh, if you refuse to stop this slavery of my people, forbidding my people to come and serve and worship me, then the hand of Yahweh will come down swiftly upon you. And it will come with a very severe pestilence upon the livestock, horses, donkeys, camels, herds, and flocks. And these are all animals that the Egyptians used, as you would imagine and assume. They used it for provision, for food, for being able to work so that they'll have food. They'd be able to be carrying food and water, for clothing even. And Egyptian gods and goddesses like the frogs, like we heard before, many had heads of cattle or heads of livestock. And these gods, just as before, Yahweh is showing His power over. And with this pestilence, He will take away the provision that has been given to Egypt in abundance for many, many years. Verse 4 says, "But the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, so that nothing will die of all that belongs to the sons of Israel." For God's people, the people of the Hebrews, their livestock, their provision will not be touched. Yahweh will continue to provide for His people. He will bless His people. He will continue to show grace and mercy to them and distinguish them, just as He does today. He'll distinguish them from those who are not His people. Just as the land of Goshen was protected, as we heard last Lord's Day, from the plague of the flies. Remember, it was like, it could be seen as like a shield around Goshen, around the people of God. There were flies 1 centimeter this way, but on the other side there is no fly. And it's the same here. This pestilence will not touch God's people. That means that God's people are set apart, that He's setting apart God's people's provision, Israel's provision. He's setting them apart, just as the people are set apart from the Egyptians themselves. The Egyptians did not have the same coming to them with this plague. We need to remember that God treats His people differently than those who are not His people. God's people, again, are blessed. Those who are not His people will be judged and cursed. This is a foreshadow of the great cursing and judgment to come upon those who are not His people. And Yahweh, who's in control of our provisions and these plagues, sets a time for it to come. Verse 5, "The Lord set a definite time, saying, 'Tomorrow the Lord will come, do this thing in the lands of the Lord.' Did this thing on the next day, and all the livestock of Egypt died. But on the livestock of the sons of Israel, not one died. Pharaoh sent, behold, there was not even one of the livestock of Israel dead. But the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go." Not only the degree and intensity does God control in these plagues, but He also controls the time and duration of the plagues and judgments. They all belong to the all-powerful, sovereign Lord, whose name is Yahweh, the name that is to be known among Pharaoh and all the earth. So the pestilence went out, all the livestock of Egypt died, all their provision dealing with meat and clothing and working with those animals, all of it dead and unusable. They still have food and their grains, as it mentions that later. But all their livestock, all the meat, clothing, dead. And what is the reaction of Pharaoh of this great plague and pestilence? All the livestock put to death. He sent forth his servants. Is it really true what the Word of God said? Of what Moses and Aaron brought and said to me. Is it really true that he was not going to hurt the livestock of Israel? Are they still alive? How can Yahweh shield his people from the flies? How can he protect the livestock from his pestilence? That's because He's sovereign. He's all powerful. He's in control. Not just a good amount of power, maybe like Pharaoh had, like the magicians had, but infinite power, infinite control, infinite sovereignty. It is not, it cannot be measured. It cannot even be comprehended by us fully. That even in the face of what is so real and clear to Pharaoh, his iniquity grew and his heart was made to be heavy. This hardened his heart and he did not let the people go. You think he would get the point after five of these plagues that have harmed all, basically all the land of Egypt, and yet there's still more to come. More to judge. But he's still hardened in heart. When we are faced with being wrong, being corrected, having the Word of God come and speak to our hearts and prick our hearts, being disciplined by Him, which is a chastening of us, a scourging us, as it says in Hebrews 12. And He does that because He loves us. When we're faced with such things, which because we are sinners, it is often, we must, as we heard earlier, we must humble ourselves. Not become heavy in heart, not be hardened in our heart where we get upset or angry or bitter. But we must be easily corrected, submitting in all things to our God who is sovereign. He is sovereign over provisions, over our needs. And He provides exactly what we need. When in need, you also are called to pray to Him and seek His help. Why? Because He is sovereign over our provisions. And so pray to Him. Second point this morning, Yahweh sovereign over our bodies. Yahweh sovereign over our bodies. The start of this plague has no warning to Pharaoh. Yahweh gives him no warning. Things are getting stronger, greater in these judgments and how the Lord is giving them and bringing His power is it's getting stronger and greater. And Yahweh's given plenty of warning for rebelling against Him already and Pharaoh not hearing Him and listening. Verse 8 it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take for yourselves handfuls of soot from a kiln and let Moses throw it toward the sky in the sight of Pharaoh. It will become fine dust over all the land of Egypt. It will become boils breaking out with sores on man and beast through all the land of Egypt." And so they obeyed. They took the soot from a kiln, stood before Pharaoh. Moses threw it to the sky and it became boils breaking out with sores on man and beast. And even just taking the soot from the kiln and throwing it up in the air, we would think, as we've done things like this, dust or dirt even, it's similar. You throw it up in the air and it comes down. You can see it go off with the wind, but it still comes down and you can see it come down. But the power of God is greater. He can cause even these ashes that Moses takes and throws up, He can cause it to go out throughout all the land of Egypt. You know, generally how large a nation is, the nation of Egypt. And yet, God causes it to, this ash, this soot, to go out throughout all the land and makes it a finer dust. And so Moses took the soot and stood before Pharaoh. He threw it up into the sky. Yahweh caused it to fall upon all in Egypt, man and beast, and boils and or sores upon them broke out. There's a disease that is spread by Yahweh. Disease is in the hand of Yahweh, our God. This plague was so bad in Deuteronomy 28, verse 27, Moses refers to it because of Israel's disobedience, Israel's hardness of heart. He reminds them of what was happening with Pharaoh and what happened to him in Egypt when they broke the covenant with the Lord. And he says, the Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt, and with tumors and scabs and itch, of which you cannot be healed. So that which is just like what we see here, when God's people rebelled against Him and hardened their own hearts. So again, a warning to the church and Christians. Verse 11, it says, the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils were on the magicians as well as on all the Egyptians. And the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not listen to them, just as the Lord had spoken to Moses. That's the final mention of the magicians of Pharaoh. And they appear to be more impotent than ever. Not only were they unable to rid the land of disease, but they cannot even protect themselves. The final word demonstrates that they and their powers have been completely vanquished and subdued by the force of Yahweh. Moses and Aaron could stand before Pharaoh, perform these miracles. But the Egyptian magicians could not even stand any longer before men from Israel, before God's people. They were made to crawl on the ground. This is the sovereign power of God over our bodies. They can bring disease upon man, upon beast, causing us to fall to our knees, cause us not to be able to stand, even distinguishing His own people from those who are not His people. For He causes magicians in the presence of Moses and Aaron to fall, receiving these boils, but Moses and Aaron still stand. Pharaoh still stands because of God's mercy. And we'll see a little bit of that in a few moments. But He can bring disease upon man and beast, and cause all to fall on their knees, cause all to fall and not be able to stand. How are we able to stand? How are we able to hold up our bodies in chairs? It is because of God's grace alone and God's working, His power. In verse 12, it's made clear Yahweh hardened the heart of Pharaoh. He's active in the hardening, as we saw in Romans 9, and also we saw earlier in this book, the back and forth between the statements, Yahweh hardened his heart, and then the other statements, Pharaoh hardened his heart. They're designed to, those two phrases, those two, Yahweh hardening and Pharaoh hardening his own heart, it's designed to teach us that Pharaoh is responsible for his own sins. He's responsible for his own hardening. And at the same time, God is sovereign, and He decreed Pharaoh's actions. And this foreshadows Revelation 16, verse 2. Remember some of the plagues before that we've already covered? They've gone to Revelation 16 about the bowls, the seven bowls that are poured out by God's angels. And this is foreshadowing the first bowl. And it says there, so the first angel went out and poured out his bowl on the earth, and harmful and painful sores came upon the people who bore the mark of the beast and worshipped its image. It came upon those who are not his people, who bore the mark of the beast and worshipped its image, not God, but the image of the beast. So those who are not God's people receive these harmful, painful sores. Those who are of Egypt and in our time unbelievers will receive these sores, this plague. And they are harmful and painful, it says. These are clearly not for God's people. But we could ask, what about other diseases that we receive? Pains in bodies and struggles in our bodies that we do receive from the Lord. And we would confess together with the Scriptures that He brings such things upon us, even all hardships, to do what? To chasten us, to discipline us. That is, to teach us. Discipline is teaching. That we would grow in faith and obedience, He says in Hebrews, and that discipline chapter for the moment. All discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it, those who are not hardened in heart. Therefore, lift your drooping heads, hands, and strengthen your weak knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. And thankfully, our God is a great healer, even our bodies. He's sovereign over our bodies. And here He protected Israel and from receiving these judgments and plagues upon bodies. And He will do the same for us in the end. And He'll heal our bodies. He'll give us new glorified bodies. The final point, Yahweh sovereign over the weather. Yahweh sovereign over the weather. This is the seventh plague. It says, verse 13, Then the Lord said to Moses, Rise up early in the morning, stand before Pharaoh, say to him, Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, Let my people go, that they may serve me. For this time I will send all my plagues on you and your servants and your people, so that you may know that there is no one like me in all the earth. For if by now I had put forth my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, you would have been cut off from the earth. But indeed, for this reason, I have allowed you to remain, in order to show you my power, and in order to proclaim my name through all the earth. Still, you exalt yourself against my people by not letting them go. He's saying there, he's keeping Pharaoh and the Egyptians around. They should have been cut off. And they easily would have been cut off with all the plagues that have happened thus far. They should all be dead. But God is telling us, telling Pharaoh, that He's merciful for a time. He keeps them all to show forth His great power, that His name would be proclaimed throughout all the earth. Even in a moment we'll see, perhaps even to claim some of those Egyptians as His own people and bring them in. If you remember what we read. There is not a conditional clause here. It's not if you turn back and let my people serve me and release them, I will stop the plague. I won't bring it. There's no conditional clause here. It's going to come this time. He's saying, let my people go. Here's the plague. It's coming. Pharaoh, you've said in chapter 5, you don't know Yahweh. All these things are coming so that you may know Yahweh stands sovereign over the entire universe, sovereign even over you. If Yahweh would have put forth His hand in full power, the Egyptians and Pharaoh would have perished long ago, because that's what they deserve, but He is long-suffering. Where the magicians have failed to stand, verse 16, I have allowed you to remain, Pharaoh. Literally it says, I have caused you to stand. The magicians, you are no longer standing. I have caused you to stand, Pharaoh. It's only because I've caused you to stand is the only reason you're standing. Verse 18. It says, Behold, about this time tomorrow I will send a very heavy hail, such as has not been seen in Egypt from the day it was founded until now. Now therefore send, bring your livestock, whatever you have in the field, to safety. Every man and beast that is found in the field and is not brought home when the hail comes down on them will die. The one among the servants of Pharaoh who feared the word of the Lord made his servants and his livestock flee into the houses. But he who paid no regard to the word of the Lord left his servants and his livestock in the field. Now the Lord said to Moses, Stretch out your hand toward the sky, that hail may fall on all the land of Egypt, on man and on beast, and on every plant of the field throughout the land of Egypt. Moses stretched out his staff toward the sky, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire ran down to the earth, and the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire flashing continually in the midst of the hail, very severe, such as has not been all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. The time is fixed by Yahweh. Tomorrow it's going to come, and Yahweh will send a storm, and He does that. There will be lightning and thunder and a very severe hail. How great of a hailstorm will it be? One in which it says had never been seen in Egypt from its beginning as a nation. This storm would be insulting upon their gods of the heavens who were gods of the sky. But they're false gods. They're not in control of the weather. They're not all powerful. They're not sovereign over all creation, including the weather. Yahweh is. And yet in the midst of promising the greatest storms of all time to come upon Egypt, Yahweh shows mercy. But only if one would listen to His voice. In verse 21, or some, probably few, feared His word. And so they listened to Him and took cover with their animals. It doesn't say they became His people, but they did fear His word. The word used could mean these few Egyptians really did reverence Yahweh and believed in Him. Or maybe it just meant they were fearful of His word, that as it had come before and it came true all those six times before and those plagues, that it was surely going to happen again. But we also see the vast majority of the Egyptians did not heed the word of the Lord. Verse 30, "But as for you and your servants, I know that you did not yet fear the Lord God." And so those did not regard Yahweh's word. They hardened their hearts. They left their animals and their servants out in the field. And so the hail was sent on man, beast, on every plant of the field throughout Egypt. It was a great storm. The ice, the hail came upon them. And so it says, so there was a hail, there was hail and fire flashing continually in the midst of the hail, very severe, such as had not been seen in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. Verse 25, the hail struck all that was in the field through all the land of Egypt, both man and beast. The hail also struck every plant of the field and shattered every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the sons of Israel were, there was no hail. There's a great emphasis here, all that was in the field, all plants of the field, all trees of the field, the vegetation. The hail struck all the land of Egypt, but the place where Israel dwelled, Goshen, was not affected. There was no storm there, no hail, as we heard last Lord's Day, the illustration that was used of the storm when you see you can see the rainstorm and it stops in one space and there's nothing. That's what He did here. He caused it to do that, and He does that today. He always is in control of the weather. He is a shield to His people. He holds back great storms from His people. Verse 27, Pharaoh sent for Moses and Aaron and said to them, "I have sinned this time. The Lord is the righteous one, and I and my people are the wicked ones. Make supplication to the Lord, for there has been enough of God's thunder and hail, and I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer." Seems like the grand confession of Pharaoh. But Pharaoh's self-condemnation isn't very convincing. There is not a full confession of past sins. He speaks only of the present time and situations. He says, "I have sinned this time." What about the other time? Pharaoh may be weakening here, it seems, yet he still plays this lying, manipulative, twisting man who thinks he's in great power over people and all. And yet he asks for prayer, because there's been enough thunder and hail. Literally, the word for thunder is voice. Now there's been much of the voices of God, he says. There's been much of God's voices. There's too much of God. And so he wants it to be gone. In the last part of verse 28, Pharaoh literally says, all of you will not again have to stand. They will not need to come before him again. That's what Pharaoh is saying, standing in his presence. Moses and Aaron, don't come back and stand before me. Verse 29, Moses said to him, as soon as I go out of the city, I'll spread out my hands to the Lord. The thunder will cease. There will be hail no longer, that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. But as for you and your servants, I know that you do not yet fear the Lord God. Then it gives this parentheses. Now the flax and barley were ruined, for the barley was in the ear and the flax was in bud. But the wheat and spelt were not ruined, for they ripened late. So Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh. He spread out his hands to the Lord. The thunder and hail ceased. The rain no longer poured on the earth. But when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and thunder had ceased, he sinned again and hardened his heart, he and his servants. Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not let the sons of Israel go, just as the Lord had spoken through Moses. Psalm 24 says, the earth is Yahweh's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. And that's what he's saying at the end of verse 29. His name will be exalted over all, for he rules over all. Not only the Egyptian gods and Pharaoh, but over all of you today sitting here. And you know the Lord is merciful in his, in this again. There were young plants, he's saying. He brings up the parentheses in those verses. He says the young plants that would normally be destroyed because they're not really strong, and they were not destroyed. And he preserved them as he did his people. The older plants, those plants that had grown up and usually are maintained in great storms, not always, but usually, they were destroyed. And so this was no ordinary storm either. This was a very severe storm, but the Lord's mercy is shown over and over again. And Pharaoh hardened his heart again. And his servants hardened their hearts. Literally, he added to and increased his sin, it says of Pharaoh. He continues to become more and more sinful and hardened. That's what happens, beloved. When you continue in sin, you'll be hardened more and more. If you're not a Christian, you're an unbeliever, you will be become more hardened and more hardened as you get older, as you hear more of the Word of God. And you continue to rebel. And of course, this plague also points forward to Revelation 16. It's the seventh bowl, the very last bowl that often in the Revelation, the seventh seventh trumpet, seventh bowl, often refers to the very last judgment. And here it says of that seventh bowl and the final angel to pour out the bowl of wrath upon unbelievers. It says, the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne, saying, it is done. And there were flashes of lightning, rumbles, peals of thunder, and a great earthquake such as there had never been since man was on the earth. So great was that earthquake. The great city was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And God remembered Babylon the Great, to make her drain the cup of the wine of the fury of his wrath. And every island fled away, and no mountains were to be found. And great hailstones, about 100 pounds each, fell from heaven on people. And they cursed God for the plague of the hail, because the plague was so severe. So both in our passage and Revelation, the plagues are accompanied by lightning and thunder. And the extent of the plagues is highlighted. It's very severe. And Revelation says, so severe, like nothing before it. In Revelation it says something like it had not occurred even since man had come upon the earth, since before Adam. You want to know how horrible the judgment will be in part in the end? You see the description, or you heard this description from Revelation 16, the hailstones that will come. They'll weigh approximately 100 pounds each. You think of a storm. and a hailstorm that you've been in, and the hail, it's not just one hailstone that comes down. It is too many to count in a second. And sometimes continuing so that it looks like it snowed. It comes down fast. And here, the plague of Egypt is just a small foretaste. This destroys some plants and some trees. But we're called to heed that warning of what is to come, to turn from our sin now and to turn from our hardness of hearts, to fear the Lord truly, because the plague that will come in the end will be so severe. All those hailstones coming down in a very fast number, which you could not count, and yet 100 pounds each, not the size of pennies, softballs, but very large, and they would destroy all. A great judgment is coming. But beloved, you who are His people, what great comfort there is here. Because we have a God who is sovereign over all our provisions, over all our bodies, and over all weather. And so let us bow now in humble reliance upon Him before the God who is sovereign and all-powerful over all things, over all the universe. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You that You are the God who is sovereign over all creation, over all creatures, over all their actions, over all things. And Father, what great words You have given to us here, warning us of what is to come from that which has already happened in Egypt. And Father, we ask that You would put that true reverent fear of the Lord into our hearts because of this, even standing in awe of You, because You will bring on to this earth a great judgment that really cannot be comprehended. How great of destruction will come. And yet, Father, now in this time, we ask that You would provide for us, that You would sustain our bodies as long as You would have us here, and You would preserve our homes and ourselves from weather, from rain and storms, from earthquakes and tornadoes and things like these that show just minimally Your infinite power. And yet we've seen them all over, how great destruction it brings, and yet not even a speck shown in those of Your power. And so let us humble ourselves before Your throne and plead with You now, we do, that You would preserve us to the end. And You would heal our bodies and bring us unto Your throne before Your face. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.